الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran in many places asked this question: أفلا يتفكرون. In some other places he said أفلا يسمعون. In some other places he said أفلا يبصرون. He said, don't they reflect? Don't they hear? Don't they see? I want to remind myself and you, yesterday we spoke about the reality of deeds. We spoke about the fact that a deed has an appearance, but it has an internal reality. And when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the appearance will be stripped bare. And we will see the deed in terms of its reality. So if the deed was sincere, we will see the sincerity. If the deed was insincere, that will become visible. Today, I want to remind myself and you that there is also two ways of seeing. There is the outward that we see, and there is the meaning behind the outward that we see. So there is seeing and there is understanding. There is seeing of whatever is happening before us, and there is an understanding of what does this mean. This thing which we are seeing, what does it mean? And that understanding is what we call diagnosis. Whether it's in medicine, whether it's in business consulting or some other, even say for example building construction, there is a seeing which you are seeing the structure in before you. But then you are diagnosing, you are saying that if this is the kind of steel that was used, then this building is unsound. There is no signboard there saying unsound. That's your knowledge which is telling you that. And that's why I always say, we don't see with our eyes, we see with our knowledge. So similarly, a doctor may see a person who apparently looks healthy, but a doctor might see him, and just by looking at him, the doctor will diagnose the disease that he has. He might say that this man is not, he's looking sort of plump, and that's not a sign of eating too much food, it's a sign of the possibility of kidney failure. That's water retention. It is not because of overweight. It's not because he's eating too much, but it's probably a sign of kidney failure. So the doctor is saying that by his knowledge. When you and I see the person and the doctor sees the person, we are effectively seeing the same thing. The doctor doesn't have X-ray vision. But because of his knowledge, he is able to diagnose what is behind those signs. So there is a seeing and there is an understanding. The reason I am saying this is because if you read the stories in the Quran of the different people, the different tribes, the different nations which were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two things which are absolutely clear if you read the history of these nations. One thing which is clear is that every single one of them was very advanced. They were very advanced in terms of science and technology of the time. There were some people who used to carve their homes out of the mountain itself. They would carve rock like you carve cheese. There were other people who built a dam, the people of Sabah who built a dam in what today we know as Al-Rub Al-Khali, which is only sand. They built a huge dam, and this dam, because of that dam, they had fertile gardens and agriculture and so on. They literally made the desert green. There were other people who had technology of different kinds. You had the pharaohs of Egypt, whose signs of whose technology are visible to this day, of what they did and how advanced that civilization was. There are other civilizations that we know of from archaeological finds which are not mentioned in the Quran, because the Quran is not a book of history or a book of science. The Quran is a book of signs, S-I-G-N-S. But we know about the civilizations. For example, in our own country, if you go in the Sindh Valley, you have the Mohenjo-Daro and the Harappan civilizations, where people, when the archaeologists, when they dug those sites, they actually, in some cases, they found pots with food in them. on the stoves. So you had, you know, imagine, something happened. I mean, something happened where the entire population disappeared while people were still cooking their food. So it wasn't a planned movement from there to some other place, right? So what happened there? We don't know. We don't know. Allah has not told us that. But we know something happened. So also, if you take the famous story, which again we don't know what the reality of it was, but the famous story of Atlantis, right? You had the whole city which vanished, right? And so on. So there are many of these. Point I'm making is that there were two things which are common among all of these civilizations which disappeared. And those two things, the first one is that they were very highly advanced in terms of their technology. They were a very highly advanced civilization. The Mohenjo-daro and Harappan civilization, they had a sophisticated water supply and drainage system in the city, right? I mean, which today, even till today, we have large towns and almost cities in India which do not have a drainage system. Jeddah does not have a drainage system. Why should we focus on India? Jeddah does not have a drainage system. And that's why it gets, in spite of all the oil and wealth and all that, it does not have a drainage system. And that's why it gets flooded and so on, and you have all these honey wagons, pumping out sewage from septic tanks and taking them and dumping them God knows where. But the point is that these civilizations, 6,000 years ago, they had a sophisticated drainage system in the city, among many other things. They had baths and so on and so on. What happened to them? So two things common. One is that they were advanced in technology, very highly advanced in technology. And two, they were completely blind to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were completely blind to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could not see beyond the appearance of things. They could not understand what is the meaning of what is happening to them. Until the final door was closed, and then they were no more. To give you just one example, if you take the story of Fir'aun, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated in such detail in the Quran, right? Almost 27 or 28 of the juz of the Quran, of 30 juz, has the story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun in some form or the other. If you look at that story, how many signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to Fir'aun and his people? Not one, many signs. Many signs came to Fir'aun and his people. You had plague after plague after plague. You had Musa alayhi salam with his asa. You had not one, many, many signs. Until finally, and every sign, and this is also true of Nuh alayhi salam, when the signs used to come, they would go to him and they would say, "What shall we do? Please pray for us." The same thing Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun used to do, was when they were afflicted with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would go to Musa alayhi salam and they say, "Please pray for us. And please pray that this affliction should go away." And Musa alayhi salam would pray and the affliction would go away, and again they would go back to their old ways. So over and over and over. Until finally, just think about this, here was a civilization which was so advanced. They were obviously not stupid people. They were very intelligent people. They were very, very highly intelligent people. What they built today, even today, we don't know how they built that. Forget about replicating that building. We don't even know how they could have built something like that. There are various theories, but no one knows for sure how they built something like the pyramids which they built. But those people, with all their intelligence, they were not able to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not recognize the hand of Allah behind what was happening. They got so involved in the appearance of the thing that they didn't ask the question, why is this happening? They got involved in the how of it that they did not understand the why of it. How is the method by which something happens? You see, how does an earthquake happen? You say that by the movement of tectonic plates. And you say, why did it happen? And we are in our atheistic thinking and atheistic education, we are given the same answer. You say, how does an earthquake happen? Just think about this. You say, how does an earthquake happen? They say, movement of tectonic plates. I say, fine, good answer. I say, why does an earthquake happen? They say, movement of tectonic plates. You should ask, you said, boss, I just asked you a question, how does something happen? You told me this. You say, why did it happen? You're telling me the same thing? How can the answer to how and why be the same thing? Because how is the method of something. Why is the reason of something. They're two completely different things. Two completely different things. Right? For example, if you say, how does a car move? You say, by the internal combustion engine. And you describe how it moves. The engine generates power, it's transmitted through the transmission, onto the wheels, and therefore, and so on and so forth. Right? And if you say, well, you know, this car went from here, why did it go there? You say, because of the internal combustion engine. Are I just ask you, how does I'm not asking the mechanics of the car, I'm saying, why did this car come here? There is a reason why it came here, because so-and-so brought it here, something. So the answer to why and how has to be different. But when you want to deny the power of the one who creates, when you want to deny the power of the one who creates that thing, then what do? You bankrupt yourself and you cannot see, you blind yourself. Why is the answer to why is the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why did this happen? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it. The moment you recognize that, then you go to the next question and you say, why did Allah send this? And that leads to hidayah. That leads to hidayah, because then it comes back to your thing to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Zahra al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas. So when a person understands the fitna, he understands the test and the tribulation and the difficulty and the musibah, and he says, why did it happen? And he says, because of the amr of Allah. He recognized Allah. Then immediate question is, why did this amr of Allah come on me? And I immediately look at my own life. And I immediately look at my own actions and say, this is what I am doing wrong. Which is what is attracting the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does this anger manifest itself? In some places it manifests itself in the form of a tornado. In another place it manifests itself in the form of a flood. In another place it manifests itself in the form of an earthquake. In another place it manifests itself in the form of a new disease which no one had ever heard of, which has suddenly come and it's now in epidemic proportions, and we have no cure for this. There were chickens long in this world long before bird flu came on the scene. So how come bird flu suddenly turned up? And so on and so on. Now this is what the people of Firaun didn't do. This is what the people of Firaun blinded themselves deliberately. And therefore, even until the final stage, just think about this. Here is a bunch of extremely intelligent people, the peak of civilization, the wealthiest, most powerful kingdom probably which ever existed. They are seeing the sea being parted. They are seeing water moving aside with dry land in between. I mean, anyone with a modicum of intelligence will say, boss, I think at this point let us stop because something funny is happening here. This is not natural. This is something is strange. This Musa is doing some funny thing. We don't know what he's doing. Maybe his Rabb is helping him. We don't know. We denied him. But maybe we are wrong. We don't know. Let us not go into this. Anyone with any intelligence would have taken that decision. Here is Musa alayhi salam. He strikes the water and the water parts. What is this? Anyone with any intelligence would have said, this is the point at which we stop. We don't go beyond this because we don't know what's happening. We don't understand this thing. But what did Firaun do? What did his entire army, what did the people do? They went into that. And obviously they got destroyed. Why? Because they are unable to see. They are unable to see. They have blinded themselves to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I am saying all of this in such detail is because I believe that today we are living at such a time. We are living at a time when civilization is highly advanced and completely blind. Completely blind. The only difference is that those civilizations were not global. They were in pockets. The people of Saba were in Rub al-Khali, the people of Egypt were in Egypt, the people of Aad and Thamud, and whoever it was, they were localized. And whatever happened to them in local, in their areas. But today, we are a globalized people. We are globalized. Everyone, everywhere, uses technology. Everyone, everywhere, there are people today, the penetration of mobile telephony, but penetration of mobile mobile communication is so high that there are mobile phones in places where there is no electricity. But people have a mobile phone. People are using phones. They're charging it from storage batteries and so on. So we are at people who are highly, highly advanced. And we are people who are completely blind. Completely blind. And the reason I'm saying it is because there are three major problems that we have created for ourselves, the three major sins that we are committing, and we have committed. The first and very heinous of crimes and sins is global oppression of people. Global oppression of people. We are a people who oppress. Meaning everybody is involved in this thing. Whoever is there, we are people who don't care about others. We are people who have no compassion. We are people who have no mercy. We are people who are cruel. We are people who oppress others. Whether it's in Palestine, whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Syria, wherever it is, whether it's in New York, where people are living in the subterranean subway tunnels, the wealthiest city in the world probably, and it has people dying of starvation. It has people who have to come and eat out of garbage cans because there is no food. They come out of the earth in the night. I have seen it myself. In Mayfair, I have seen this myself. You have million-dollar apartments, and you have garbage on the street. Why? Because in the night, the people come out of the subterranean tunnel, subway tunnels, and they eat out of the garbage. Why do they come to Mayfair? Because the wealthiest place has the best garbage. They waste the most. They throw the most. So it has the best garbage. If I want to eat out of a garbage can, I want to eat out of a garbage can in Mayfair and not out of a garbage can in the Bronx, which probably has nothing to eat, nothing there to eat. What a life we have created. I mean, subhanAllah, ajeeb. What a life have we created in the midst of wealth. We have people dying of starvation. And this is not restricted to America, believe me. This is true in here. This is true right here. We don't have to go all the way to America. I'm just giving you examples. It's true right here. We have people who are spending millions on ostentatious weddings, inviting the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the heads of their children. They're beginning their life, their married life with haram. They're beginning their married life with ostentation. When in the same city of Hyderabad, there are women who are selling themselves as prostitutes because they have nothing to eat. Muslim women are available as prostitutes because they have nothing to eat. Muslim women are selling themselves because they don't have food to eat. Because they have no one will marry them because they are poor. And we believe that and we live as if we don't have to answer. We don't have to answer. You will find out, believe me, you will find out when Malakul Maut comes before you. So first thing is we oppress. Second big heinous crime that we commit is we are all involved in interest. We are involved in riba in one way or the other. May Allah protect us. Vast majority of the population of the world involved in interest. Interest-based banking on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war. And the third one is that we have become a society where promiscuity and shamelessness has become completely open. Completely open. Absolutely no problem. Laws in countries which had laws which prevented promiscuity and shamelessness, those laws have been repealed and removed. Totally. And part of this shamelessness is not only exposing the body, shamelessness is also the tongue, where we say anything we want. And part of this, and the most heinous and the worst of this, is the fact that we, meaning the people of this world, are people who are now abusing Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Public abuse of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers, I want to remind you, Allah does not forgive certain things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive certain things even if you make tawbah. Even if you make tawbah. And one of those things is the abuse of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes revenge on those who abuse his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah always takes revenge on those who kill the prophets. We cannot kill Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but certainly character assassination or the attempt at character assassination is tantamount to trying to take the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So three major issues, three very major issues. We oppress people. We are involved in interest. And we have become completely and totally shameless, including abusing the Nabi of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I remind you and I remind myself, let us open our eyes, the eyes of Ibrat. Let us open the eyes of understanding, not the eyes which are cameras which only see the appearance. Look behind the appearance. Look, what does this mean? Ask this question and seek the answer in the Wahi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The answer cannot come from your mind and my mind. The answer has to come from the Kitab of Allah and from the Sunnah of His Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because knowledge has to, the answer is knowledge, and that knowledge is knowledge from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The answer cannot come by conjecture. Ask, what is the sign? What is it showing? Today we have depression in America, we have depression in Europe. The economy of Britain, they are saying, is on the point of collapse. These effects are global. And believe me, none of this has to do with whether you know how to manage your money or not. People are telling you all sorts of, take your money out of Europe, take your money out of England, take your money here. Where will you take it and where will you go? Where will you go? And when it collapses, are you going to eat dollar bills? Make chapati out of dollar bills. That's all the money is good for. It's not a question. We cannot run away from the Amr of Allah. We cannot run away from the Amr of Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His adab, there is no escape. The escape is to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important. You might say, well, you know, what is the good of me making tawbah when decisions are being taken in Europe and America and so on? The issue is not that. The issue is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to the tawbah of people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the destinies of nations because of the tawbah of some people. And that's why it's very important for us to make tawbah. Let us do what we can do. Don't worry about what is not in our control. Do not allow what is not in our control to prevent us from doing what is in our control. It is in our control to do two things. One is to make tawbah. And two is to correct what is in our life. If there is any oppression of anyone in our life, remove it. If there is any involvement with any interest in our lives, remove it. If there is any form of shamelessness or promiscuity or ostentation in our lives, remove it. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Because what we do is symbolic of the whole nation. And therefore, let us correct ourselves. Let us see with the eye of Ibrat. Let us not fool ourselves. Let us ensure that we seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make tawbah so that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove His anger from us. Otherwise, believe me, the results are not going to be good. Because if we look at all the signs that are there in the Quran, as I have said many times before, it's not a book of entertainment, it's not a book of stories. The stories are there for us to learn lessons, and all the lessons are pointing in the same direction, which is that we are also like those people, highly advanced in technology and completely blind. So let us open our eyes and learn to see with the knowledge of the wahi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us, so that we can actually see the reality of things and we can correct ourselves before it is too late. Because as I said, if you get involved in the how, you don't ask the question why. It's only when you ask the question why that it will come back to our own amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions, whether they are for good or bad, come because of our deeds. It all comes back. The ball finally comes and rests in our court, in our lap. The buck stops here. And therefore, we have to correct ourselves, our own actions, our own deeds, our own lives, our own society, our own environment, if we want things to change. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, to help us, and to accept our tawbah. We make tawbah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this tawbah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove His anger and to be pleased with us and to help us in this time when no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.